So to beat depression and avoid anxiety, you got to be in the present. And you will only be able to achieve the power of now by just being at peace with where you are. Gratitude, 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 you know, like, I hate to kind of like start using like cliche solutions here, but they're not cliche. If everybody tells you them, if every book is telling you to meditate, read and write, you know, they're not cliches anymore. These are fundamentals that I as one cannot live without. So meditate, journal, read in that order every morning.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Hello, hello, my friend. Have you ever stopped to look at your life and felt like a complete failure? What mask are you hiding behind so that people don't see the real you? Are you looking to change jobs and need a new approach to make it to those final interview rounds and actually get the offer? If you are serious about creating the career and life of your dreams as an engineer, then you will love what my good friend and leader in the world of engineering recruiting, career transition, and engineering coaching, Nader Mahlawi, has to share in this conversation. His story is vulnerable, it's powerful, and he really did save the best for last. So listen to the end, where I'll be back after this chat as well with an action plan to help you take this conversation even deeper for your results. Before we get started, and this conversation turns you into one of those mind-blown emojis, do yourself a favor and listen up for just 30 seconds. If you are an engineer living below your full potential, and you're looking to reach the next level, to increase your impact, income, and find true happiness in your career, we would love to talk to you. I want to give you a special invite to request a career clarity call, followed by a free deep dive session with one of our client success coaches who work exclusively with engineers just like you. Schedule a call with us today by visiting careerclaritycall.com. Again, that URL is careerclaritycall.com. Decisive action takers get results. We look forward to talking with you soon. Welcome back. It is amazing to be with you and my man, Nader Mahlawi, who is the founder of Engineer Your Mission and creator of the Job Search Acceleration System, an all-inclusive job search coaching program designed to help engineering and technology professionals to make successful career transitions. And here's my favorite part, without wasting any time dealing with anxiety. I know that resonates for so many of you listening. Nader is an electronics engineer who's inspired by building confidence in people like you, other engineers who are struggling while job searching in transition. And he loves helping people to develop, my favorite word, courage, and the knowledge to take calculated actions towards securing interviews, landing those high-paying job offers. And his coaching program offers amazing things: online courses, daily workshops, a community to support engineering job seekers in overcoming that stress that is caused by the job search process so that you can become the happiest version of yourself. Nader, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much, Zach. Great to be here. I was looking forward to this conversation since we scheduled it.
I was so excited. You have a story that is full of amazing places that we can dig into and learn. But what I'd love to do is actually pull out something that you shared a couple of months ago in a video on LinkedIn that for me really touched my heart. And I know people who saw this video felt the same way. And I just want to see where it takes you when you hear this reflected back in your own story, and tell us where this came from. So you said having grown up in a family of engineers and ultimately go to engineering school and wanted to create a career and an engineer out of myself and not being able to do that, the pain of that really drives me every day. Where did that come from?
And you're giving me full body goosebumps here. It comes from idolizing my dad. Like, my dad to this day is my role model, and I have all the love and respect in the world to him, for mm-hmm. him, and will ever will. But ultimately, I'm the older son of three kids. I have an older sister, younger brother. I was the older boy in the household. So I went everywhere with my dad. He's a chemical engineer, process engineer. Worked in the oil and gas and the minerals, mm-hmm. mining and minerals industry for...
Nice.
He still does. He's more on the environmental engineering side right now. But I, as a little kid, I went to every plant, every processing plant, every manufacturing plant. I went to mining sites. I went to processing. I was bred to become an engineer. I didn't know anything else, you know? We didn't have any doctors in our family or lawyers in our family. It was just basically
Sure.
Everyone went to engineering school or they had high school diplomas, you know? So no higher education, went into business, so to speak, on my mom's side. My dad's side went into basically engineering.
Yes.
Basically mechanical and chemical and civil engineering. So growing up around that environment, around my uncles and going everywhere with my dad, I remember summers every day I went to plant with him. He took me with him. And that was my identity without me understanding it, without me having any influence over shaping it. So long story short, I graduate high school, I get into university and I'm like, okay, well, technology is the new coolest thing around these days and robots are cool. So let's get into electronics. Okay. That's literally as deep as my thinking was back in the day in 2003, 2004.
Sure.
it wasn't a data-backed decision-making process. And I ended up going to, college, went the hands-on technology technician, technologist path. I'm like, yeah, I like it. I'm doing really well. Had a very successful project, designed a robotic arm, won an award for it. I'm like, cool, time to go get my bachelor's. So I ended up, again, long story short, got my bachelor's, graduated. And I graduated in 2007, end of 2007. I was basically the year the class I graduated into the last recession. So one of the things that really resonates with me this day and age and the recession, the economic turmoil and the market instability that we're dealing with right now, the new graduates and professionals are dealing with right now, I resonate with that because I graduated into that market. And that's still to this day, that's my primary excuse. That's why it was impossible for me to get into the field that I wanted to. I tried. I had 30 different versions of my resume, applying to 20 plus jobs every day. I did everything I could. I was dedicated. I was hardworking. I was able to learn. So everything you can think of, I was. But I couldn't land many interviews. The interviews that I went to, I didn't do well. So I never got into the whole robotics or automation or manufacturing sector that I wanted to. 8 months after, 8 months of unemployment, I had a job. I was working, with an engineering degree in a coffee shop, serving donuts, wow. Security guard on the weekends, doing all this. I was hustling. But long story short, I ended up just getting the tech support representative job. So answering phone calls and a telecommunication service provider. And if your BlackBerry didn't work, if you don't know what a BlackBerry is, it used to be,
it's the engineer listening.
The
BlackBerry, man. So Nader, during those 8 months, you're coming from an identity from your birth, basically that engineering was your destiny. And then here you are out of school, holding the degree, your ticket to your destiny as an engineer, and you're a barista. What was the worst part about that for you?
It's exactly knowing, I will go as far as at the time, knowing that I wasn't worth it, that I failed. It was the proof that, 1 month is okay, 2 months, 3 months, it's cool. But like more than 3 months after graduation, in 2007, 2008, robotics, like having an electronics engineering degree, and I specialize in embedded software development. So I was really good with the software side. I knew how to machine language, I understood. I was really good at C++. These are the skills that they were pretty hot back there. I had an award winning, we won the People's Choice Award. We designed, like a couple of us designed a therapeutic robotic arm, you know, from scratch, mechanical components, hardware and software design. I had the whole portfolio, I had the project, I had the references, I had everything, but I just couldn't land any job. So when 3 months led to six and then to eighth, and my weekend and part-time working in a coffee shop job turned into like, now I have to do it full-time. So I was full-time serving coffee and donuts. And then part-time weekend job was opening doors for people at a building, sitting at a concierge desk, signing people in, you know. And the moment you're sitting there, people are like young kids, drunk, get into the lobby, going up, going to open the elevator for them, signing them in. And they're like, man, I'm an electronics engineer. You know what I mean? Why am I like getting people? And like, literally, I'm going to have to share this so you can get the picture. Like people like throwing up in the lobby, cleaning people's vomit with an engineering degree. Like that's as far as I've gone. So that's just proof that you failed, you know? So I've been there. I understand that. Like, I feel that the people's pain in my heart because I've felt that exact pain. And that's where you're like, you know what? That's it. I'm just going to have to take any job. I just can't be doing coffee serving anymore. So long story short, I started my professional career within a telecommunication company, answering phone calls when people's phones didn't work, you know? My first pay was salary was $14.90 per hour, while I was promised to get an entry level of 30 to 35 per hour, which was not great, but it was decent back in 2007, 2008 to get a $30 an hour job, like 60K a year for an engineer. It was okay. That's a good starting salary, but I made less than half of that as my first job. So that just continued for about 3 years, that it was just a downward spiral of, you know, regression and depression and then loss of identity, to a point that I even ended up changing my name to see if that would fix stuff, but nothing really did, you know?
Failure, that word comes fully loaded and it affects us and obviously had a significant effect on you to face that during that time. What is the way that that failure impacted you in the years to come? Where did it rear its head? How did that impact you moving forward?
Just allow me to have compassion. So from 2007, 2008 up until like end of 2010, that went on for 3 years. But when I made that switch, was when I left the tech industry completely and I went towards recruiting. And it was completely by chance, not by choice. I ended up going to a recruiting company looking for a job. And I was so persistent out of desperateness, you know, really. Just being desperate for a job, I just wouldn't stop following up. And guess what? That's a great quality for a recruiter. So they're like, you know what? You seem like the kind of guy who wouldn't give up. Why don't you come and work here and actually help us fill in these engineering positions? You have the engineering background and you have the persistence, you have the drive, you're willing to do whatever it takes, as you say. So it ended up being like, I was the only technical person, the only engineer in the company at the time. And it was like, I was told, this is a risk for us. We're taking a risk on you. Guess what? I was their number one recruiter in 2 years, but you know what I mean? So what it allowed me to get there, aside from having that technical knowledge, it allowed me to understand people who are struggling with job search, have compassion for them, just have empathy for them. So just, I resonated with them, what they're going through. And I was able to make very good friends very quickly. People gained my trust and they knew I was coming from the right place. You know, the average recruiter doesn't really have a good image attached to their name out there. It's like the used car salesman,
right?
But I became the anomaly and that really proved that. I proved it in my performance.
When are we in time that you landed that first recruiter position?
October 2010.
October 2010. And You mentioned a moment ago that in the journey through this trial, this suffering, that you made a decision to change your name. Where did that happen relative to October 2010?
January 2010.
Why the name change?
Well, in 2008, like from mid-2008 till 2009 and the 2009 up to January 2010, I worked at a telecommunication company, you know, answering phone calls. Smartphone didn't work. You know, in 2007, when iPhone 1 was released, I was on that team. You know? So I was on, I knew what iPhone 1 problems were. So I had that bragging rights, you know. But 2010 came, 9 finished, 2010 came. I was contacted by a recruiter, and that's the first time I knew what a recruiter was. I was offered to leave that company, go to an IT company, IT integration, systems integration company as a sales account manager. So I was already, and why is, was because I had a technical background. So I had the knowledge. I could talk the talk. I could speak with IT managers, technology directors, and understand what their infrastructure looks like. I had worked in a telecom company, so I knew what that communication networking infrastructure looked like, what the components and equipments were. And I was working on the phone. So I wasn't selling, I was tech support, but I could troubleshoot. I could sell, I could learn how to sell. That's what they were interested in. And I was just really tired of stagnation in my current company at the time. So I took the offer, went from like 30,000 a year to like 35,000 a year, like 5,000 a year increase. So it's like plus 10% commission, you know? So I ended up doing well. In that job. But one of the things that I decided to do going into sales out of insecurity, and I totally lost my sense of self identity, was to change my name from Nader to Trevor. So why Trevor? The guy that I used to work for, who was a coffee shop owner, Irish guy, and he was my mentor. He's like, I'm like, Mark, I need a Western name, man. Help me. There's no way they're going to be able to talk to me, these IT directors and technology managers. They can't even, because at a time, like, they could barely say my name. So I was like, many different pronunciations of the name. And the conversations were getting stuck on, what's your name again? You know, especially when you're calling your service provider on the phone. My phone's not working. Who are you again? How do you spell that? So I was really insecure about my name. So I'm like, okay, I'm Trevor. So that was problematic right off the bat because people were calling me Trevor. I wasn't even turning around. It was like, it wasn't registering. So it was like, someone had to come and shake me. Like, oh yeah, you're talking to me. My name is Trevor. Yes, sir. I was calling people, calling myself, introducing myself again as Nader, not as Trevor. Just like, oh no, sorry. I mean, Trevor. So it was just like weird. I had this whole weird scenario going on. It was just try to fit in, and that's it. Yeah. Just trying to fit
in. For the engineer listening to this, you know, many of them came from that same childhood dream of being an engineer, and some made it, maybe some didn't. Maybe someone's listening who they're in that same boat. The dream didn't happen. And the identity crisis, that, you know, and how that's reflected, maybe they didn't take it all the way to changing their name. But if somebody's in that place, just not feeling connected to who they are at their core, to get lost in what you just described, like, what would you say to them? How did you go about finding yourself again?
It is to work on yourself, but on your inner self, not on your outer self. It's not your name. It's not what you look. It's not getting a nose job. It's not a new haircut. It's not changing your beard style. Man, I've had it all. I've had goatees until the like mid-chest. I've had long hair, short hair, bald hair, you know, the different clothes. I've gone from being a rocker to a rapper to a, you know, I've said the exterior, I tried it all. Through that phase of going through high school, college, university, I tried to fit in a variety of different places and anything you can think of, but none of them worked. None of them stuck. Until I found to work on myself and on my inner self.
I want to connect that statement to the incredible work that you do now in helping engineers with the job search process. And one of the things that I hear a lot in coaching people who are in that same place is all about those outer things. What does my resume have on it? What does it look like? You know, what do I need to look like? My personal brand in an outward appearance, you know, the things people focus on are often in how others see me in this outer space. And yet here you and I are talking about the core, the inner work. How do you bring those two things together? Where does the inner work actually reflect for someone who's in a job search or, you know, the work you do now? How has that informed the way you approach helping people?
Yeah, here's how I teach it. I said, do you want interviews or do you want jobs? Do you just want to get interviews or do you want to actually get a job? Because your hard skills, your technical skills, your outer shell, we can fix that up and make it nice and shiny and get you a bunch of interviews. Hard skills would get you to the interview, but it's your soft skills that will get you the job. So often we go like in the standard process, you go and start working on your hard skills. You develop the outer shell. And I'm not saying that these are not necessary. They're just not as important as your soft skills, as your leadership skills, as your communication skills, as your, you know, your aptitude, your adaptability, your collaboration, your growth potential, your ability to be productive, to be a high performing person, to be determined, to be committed. Like it's your character that you don't even have to talk about it. If someone sees you, if someone communicates with you through messages, they can feel you. You know what I mean? It's your energy, it's your tone of voice. So it's like, I don't want to get too far into the wee-wee-wah-wah of the energy, but we can talk about that. But it's like soft skills. It's you as a person. It starts with when you start making eye contact, you start connecting with someone, you communicate, you let them know what's in your head. Words come out of your mouth. That's a lot more important. So if you look at the like something like the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, I like to put 20% of focus on the hard skills, on the technical skills, on the personal branding, on the resume. 80% of the focus, 80% of our time is focused on developing you as a person, improving your character, enhancing your communication, your presentation skills. And the way we go about job searching, we actually lead with that. We don't lead with, let's apply for this job and update our resume and write a good cover letter. Because guess what? Everybody does that. So you've got a problem here where you're mixing with everybody else. And from a recruiter's point of view, from a hiring manager's point of view, that's like the common denominator that gets you canceled out. You know, guess what? From like 100 resumes that are submitted to a job, well, it's realistically more. Let's say it's 200, 300 resumes. Yeah. At least 100 of them can do the job. Like without even looking at those resumes, it's a good bet to make that, you know what? I bet you if I look at these 300 resumes and we take a whole month to look at them, we spend 3 hours on each. So we dissect them. 100 of them can do the job. They have the qualifications. Maybe we say 200 people can't, which is, I'm sure like most of them, maybe like sometimes more than 50% can do the job. Well, let's say we're being really tough. We eliminate 200. We keep 100 resumes. There's no way you can interview 100 people. You still have to eliminate 90 of those qualified candidates to get down to 10. You cannot bring all 10 into the office or to a Zoom call. You have to eliminate half of them on the phone. So you call 10 of them. They're going to be good, but you still have to eliminate 5 of them so you can book 5 Zoom interviews or 5 in-person interviews. You know, so it's understanding that is very important. So what gets you to that final round? What gets you in front of a hiring manager? Why don't we just lead with that? Why don't we just make that the tip of the spear? When we do, you're going to see that it will just transform your entire success rate and how effective you are.
This is super important. And there's a phrase you hear all the time, save your best for last, right? And this is not that time. This is a save your best for first situation. Yep. And what Nader's saying, for the engineer listening right now, whether you're looking for a job today or not, one day you will be, whether that's within your own organization for promotion or transitioning organizations. And just to recognize, you want to lead with your best. And in the world of landing jobs, I love what you said here, the hard skills will get you the interview. The soft skills, the inner part of who you are, is what will land you the job. And we want to lead with that. As an engineer myself, I got to ask, how do you do that? What does that even look like? Most of us have this idea, or we're even taught by people, that you either have it or you don't. You've either got the great personality or you don't. You're charismatic or you're not. So if you're an engineer and you're just saying, sounds great, Nader, but how do I do that? Where would they begin?
I'll answer it with a Theodore Roosevelt quote that says, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much. Nobody cares how much they know until they know how much you care. You know, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So reaching out to these organizations, companies, businesses, hiring managers, recruiters, senior engineers, looking for a referral, whoever, influencers, you need to first demonstrate to them, communicate to them that you really care about them, their business, their product, their process, their services, their customers. You need to demonstrate that. So one of the strategies I teach, one of the few that I teach to implement that is when you're messaging, because we focus a lot on messaging, majority of our success comes from good messaging, good communication. I say, don't talk about yourself, talk about the problems that you solve. Because when you talk about yourself, you position yourself as a solution provider, you're perceived as someone who's selfish. When you position yourself, instead of a solution provider, you position yourself as a problem solver, you're perceived as selfless. So if you're a solution provider, so solution provider sounds good. It's like, yeah, I'm a solution provider. I like to provide solutions. I like to, you know, why not? What's wrong with that? Well, it's not what you say, it's how you're being perceived. It's what the person who's listening to you, what do they think? What do they, how do they translate in their mind what you're, what they're being told? So don't talk about yourself. Talk about the problems that you solve. If you do that, you show that you care about the other person and having their obstacles overcome, having their, you know, problems taken care of, getting rid of the friction they have in their process, whether that's it's a manufacturing, product manufacturing line, whether that's a design process, regardless of what that is, it could be a violation verification, test methodology, whatever it is that you do, the job that you perform in, its fundamentals are based on solving problems. The problem, again, some of the things, again, when I go in a little bit deeper to help people understand this, I always say, there's one problem. There could be many solutions, but there's just one problem. And there's often multiple solutions that we can apply to, multiple methodologies. So you just need to talk about solving the one problem that they have, regardless of how you solve it. Because everyone's like, oh, but I don't know Python. I'm like, we don't even know if they use that. But I'm not really good with SolidWorks. Why? What if they have AutoCAD? What if they're using Inventor? You know, so don't focus about which software. I'm sure you can learn the software. Just show them that you understand their problem.
Yes, that's so good. The idea of caring, lead with caring, focusing on one problem and talking about that to portray yourself as selfless. I hope the engineer listening to this is taking crazy notes because this is so good. And I want to just add to this, don't overthink what Nader's saying about lead with caring. Like, Zach, what should I put? What's the exact words? How do I say? No, you don't need us to tell you the exact words. Ask yourself, what would I say that communicates authentically that I really do care about this company, the difference they're seeking to make in the world, this position, the problem that you're seeking to solve? What would you say? Say that. But if the energy and intention from your heart is authentically caring, it will come across that way. It doesn't matter if you use Zach's words or Nader's words. In fact, it'd be better if you don't use your words. I don't know if you run into that same situation where people want the script, they want the exact message. And just to challenge people, hey, you have an authentic, caring self inside you. Tap into it. Use it.
100%. 100%. You and I and 1,000 other people like you and I, we do the exact same thing. We help people see, but we can't tell them what to see. Like, we show them the way, you know, we can show them the path, but what you see there, we wouldn't really be able to fabricate that for you, because you could be like, I have a client right now who's a mechanical engineer. We're going after medical devices. So there's a company in LA, they do mixers. They have like 5 different product lines. You know, they have batchers, compounders, mixers, you know, small pressure vessels, different parts of a manufacturing, high-speed manufacturing product line. So I can't really tell you how you would go about solving that problem, but you need to really learn that your approach should be, I want to learn what are some of the challenges, technical challenges involved with this process, and help you come up, you know, and come up with some ideas and share with you some insights. Whatever it is that you say, it could literally be, I really care about the products you develop because it helps your clientele speed up their manufacturing process of whatever the drug delivery system is. I'm contacting you because I want to help solve some of the problems you're facing in the design and manufacturing phase of these high-speed batching systems. Like, you're just saying to them what's coming out of your mouth, what's coming out of your mind. There's no fancy words. I want to help you solve problems. Yep. Say that rather than I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I'm good with AutoCAD. It was like, nope, who are you? No one cares.
I love this line that I captured off your website, which I encourage everybody to go there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you said you must be courageous enough to lay it on the line, to tell someone the truth and to tell it like it is without dealing in delusion. I'm curious for you, Nader, just coming back to your story, when was the last time you laid it all on the line?
I try to do it every day, man. I've gone through that phase of just like taking off the mask, right? So the last mask, and there are perhaps other, there must be, I mean, if I say there is no masks, then I'll be delusional, but there are, I would say confidently there are masks right now that I'm wearing that maybe I'm not aware of, or maybe there is a mask there that I'm just like totally avoiding. But the big masks and the ones that I've famously worn over the years, I took the last one off last year in September 11th when I shared my story of, you know, overcoming, you know, being an alcoholic, drug use, wanting to one time kill myself. Like, I put everything out there and then just lifted off this big weight off my shoulders, this big weight off my chest. And everyone just started trusting me more because I didn't have anything more to lose. I'm like, I was just a terrible person. It was like, it was 8 years ago, but finally I came out with it and said, you know what? I went through these dark times, you know, ended up, you know, changing my industry, didn't have my goals, let down my dad, changed my name, started drinking, started deviating from work, got into smoking, got into drugs, like, and these things escalated and escalated and escalated. And it got to a point that it was just like, man, what am I doing with my life? I don't want to live here anymore. So I try to share that story every chance that I get, because for someone who hears it, like, you asked me when was the last time I did it? I did it right before lunch. So an hour and a half ago. I had one of my life coaching clients, Rick, and is like, you know, thanks for sharing that stuff. And it was our second session. I'm like, nice. I know we've met one more time, maybe a consultation. He's like, oh, I was on one of your lives. I'm like, oh, great. So thanks for signing up. And I'm really happy you shared those stories of sobriety and everything, because I'm going through the same thing. I'm like,
wow.
Oh, wow. And that made me feel like really good, because just the fact that I put myself out there, it got someone to be comfortable talking about their journey and their challenges and what's getting them stuck in their path. And that conversation was supposed to be 15 minutes. We ended up talking for 35, 40 minutes. And it was all about life and challenges of it and his kid and all these things. And this guy's got 20 years on me, but like the things that I was talking about, it just, the things that I had talked about before had given him the comfort to approach me and talk to me about it and feel like he's in a safe zone, if he's in a safe place. Mm-hmm. And he was, and he wouldn't be a year ago. You know what I mean? Just the fact that I started sharing that stuff on 9/11 last year, it allowed me to just take off the last mask, be comfortable with who I was. And every day is a step forward in my own personal development journey of being vulnerable, sharing this, you know, being on this call with you today. I'm presenting to the engineering group at the University of Saskatchewan this afternoon in 3-4 hours. Guess what? The same stories are going to come out, because they need to hear too that like, you're not alone. Because especially in the engineering community, in the STEM community, like, I always say, share part of the story that like, I've never had many friends. It's just like 1-2 friends during school, even like still to this day, very introverted. So is my wife. So we get along, you know, but that's like, she's my best friend. It's like, we don't really have, maybe we have, you know, a couple of couples that we're good friends with that I don't even think I'll be comfortable sharing this stuff with them. I mean, that's how introverted I am, you know, within my personal circle. So if you're in STEM, if you're in engineering, I know that you probably don't even share any of the stuff with anybody, not even with your siblings, like I didn't, not with your parents, like I didn't. And I've had these conversations for a decade plus with other engineers and scientists. I know most people pour it in, keep it in, hold it in, and it ends up being depression, anxiety, it shows itself physically. A lot of people deviate towards smoking, drinking, drugs. It ruins their relationship like I did. It just negatively affects every part and every person in your life. So the moment you take off that last mask, or you start taking off masks, as soon as I started sharing, I'm like, oh my God, I have this other demon that I got to talk about. Oh my God, I got to talk about this crazy thing that I did. You just keep taking them off and off and off until you see your own face and you feel comfortable. You're happy looking at your own face in the mirror. So, because I wasn't. I remember those days that I wouldn't even look up. I had always my head down, very reserved. We didn't talk to nobody because I knew that I had let myself down. Because the only person, one of the good things about our community is that I'm going to try to make this sound like a good thing, is that we often blame our own self. As introverts, we blame our own selves, you know, when something bad happens. Extroverts, and this is this is not coming from me, I've read about this. Extroverts look for approval from the outside and they blame external sources. When they introverts, they look for internal approval, and when they fail, they blame themselves internally. So that's been scientifically proven.
Wow. You know, this story, the arc of what you just said, for one, you're not alone. And for the engineer listening to this, the introvert listening to this, it's often when we're in our own head repeating and telling ourselves these stories and working to compartmentalize all the, you know, the demons of our lives. What happens often is somebody will show up at Awaco wanting coaching on how to build their career. They want to get promoted. They want to get some external success, reward, recognition, income, impact. And there's a belief underpinning this that somehow you can just accelerate forward and massive success and happiness in that one domain and leave everything else from these areas of our past or these demons that you just talked about. You can just leave them there and it's going to be fine. Like, I don't have to address that. And I can have everything I want in this other area. And I have found 100% of the time that what's holding you back in your career is linked in some way to one or more or all of this area of your life that you're unwilling to look at. And we have to address you as a whole person. You're not just a career. You are a whole person. And what you're saying is so powerful, to have the courage to unmask all of these areas. If you really want a deep and whole sense of purpose and passion and fulfillment in your life, and just the message that you're bringing here through your own story is so powerful. I'd love to go all day on it, but knowing we got to be respectful of your time, you know, tell me, what would you say if someone's in that place where they really connect with what you just shared? Yeah, I've got those failures of my past. I have, you know, some demons that I haven't looked at that are masked. What's the first step for someone to face those with courage and start moving through it? How do you unmask yourself without just blasting things on Facebook or doing stuff that maybe doesn't actually help? It just feels like action. But what would you recommend? How does somebody take the first small step towards healing and unmasking in those areas?
To find fulfillment in life, you know, to build that abundant life, you have to first identify your true purpose. So we have been conditioned to believe that our purpose is to design the next automated conveyor belt or design the new wing on this new airplane or the, you know, whatever, the propulsion system for the next SpaceX jet engine. It's not, you know, your purpose. I know this is a big statement and you're probably going to hate me for saying this. If you're not woke yet, you know, that you're not, like, don't attach your purpose and your life's meaning to being an engineer or being a scientist. It's not about
you. Don't attach your life's purpose to being a scientist, an engineer, a conveyor belt designer.
Anything like that, you know? Life is not about you, you know? Life doesn't happen to you. It needs to happen for you. So I go back to saying you need to think about the problems you can solve, not about how your life's going to improve. So just focus on other people. If you want to live an abundant life, help other people live an abundant life. Like the Zig Ziglar, God bless his soul, quote that always resonates with me. If you want to have everything in life, just help other people get what they want in their life. And that's what I mean by, like, life's not about you. It's about helping your people. It's about helping others get what they want. And you're not going to find your answer. You're not going to find what your purpose is in step number one. Your purpose is going to reveal itself as you're stepping on the path, as you're traveling that. And it's going to come right after you overcome one of the biggest new demons you've met. You know, the hardest thing, the night that you have to pull an all-nighter, not to work on anything that will positively benefit you, is to just help someone else get what they want, is when you're completely selfless. And you realize that, you know what, I find fulfillment in helping others. It may be in school, it may be in education, it may be in your career, it may be on a job. It may not be. Just don't define it, let it define itself. Don't focus on the results or the outcome. Focus on the journey. Focus on the process. And the, you know, you just have to take that next step. The path will illuminate as you step on it.
Another great Zig Ziglar: you go as far as you can see, and then you can see to go a bit further. And coming from a guy who has walked through the fire and experienced this on the other side of pain, Nader, I just admire so much your journey. I always finish with this question. I'm curious. I really love to hear your perspective on it, that, hey, great engineering, great coaching, finding purpose has one thing in common: questions lead and the answers follow. And we want to ask great questions in our lives. And so for the engineer listening to this conversation, they want that happiness, they want that fulfillment. What's the best question to lead them with?
I would say, rather than asking yourself how to find happiness, or how, you know, just change the word happiness. Happiness does not have an end, you know. Change it into peace, change it into inner contentment, you know. So how can I be content with what I have? How can I be in peace with what I have? So start from there, because that's how you can live in the present, live in the now. Because if you're in, if your mind's always in the future, you're going to be anxious. If you're stuck in the future trying to figure out, oh, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have this interview tomorrow. I have to buy a house. I have to do this. I have to do that. That's what causes anxiety. If you're too far in the past and you're regretful of what decisions you made or you didn't make in the past, that's what's going to cause depression. So to beat depression and avoid anxiety, you got to be in the present. And you will only be able to achieve, you know, the power of now by just being at peace with where you are, just gratitude. Like, I hate to start using like cliche solutions here, but they're not cliche. If everybody tells you them, if every book is telling you to meditate, read and write, you know, they're not cliches anymore. These are fundamentals that I, as one, cannot live without. So meditate, journal, read, in that order every morning.
Powerful. I love this. To beat depression and avoid anxiety, be in the present. So awesome. Nader, we could go all day. Thank you so much for being here. Tell the engineer listening where they can get more of you. I know they're going to want it.
100%. You can definitely go to our website, engineeryourmission.com, and you can contact me, look at what I do over there in more details, from the career coaching side to the life coaching side. But if you want to see me and hear me and rub shoulders with me on a daily basis, I would say connect with me or follow me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is courage.fear.confidence, because to get to confidence, you got to have the courage to face your fears. So courage.fear.confidence.
That's beautiful. And we'll put that in the show notes. I can tell everybody listening, you got to take action on this. Follow Nader, look at his content, get plugged in, send him a message, let him know what you're thinking and what you need. This guy's content is amazing and I love it. I've been following for a long time. And thank you again so much for being here. A true pleasure. And I've taken a ton away from this. I know everybody else has too. So, man, let's do it again sometime.
I appreciate the opportunity, Zach. Thanks for introducing me to your community. And kudos to you, man, because like, we actually resonate a lot with what you do, the way you do it, the message you put out there, how you present yourself, how you help your audience and the engineers that work with you. And it's amazing, man. So hats off to you. Keep on doing what you're doing, because the world needs more of you and I.
Feelings mutual, brother. All right.
Awesome.
Hello again, my friend. It's Zach White, your host and your coach for this wild ride called career growth. I hope you're enjoying the show. By the way, if you feel like an overworked and undervalued engineer who wants to find better balance and get paid what you're worth, I want you to get started today by checking out the Productivity Power Laws, my free video short course at productivitypowerlaws.com. If you're new here or you haven't done this yet, this is definitely the first step to get started in applying these principles to your life. So head over to productivitypowerlaws.com and grab your free gift from me and the team at Oaco. We cannot let this moment pass us by without talking about action. Nader Malawi, wow. Thank you so much for sharing an incredible story with us. And there were at least a dozen points in that conversation where we could have gone way deeper. And I'm so curious to learn more about how Nader's life has been a winding road to such incredible impact today. But, you know, there were some dark and difficult, painful times along the way. And if you're listening to this and you're in that place that he described, you know, 8 months of having his engineering degree and serving coffee, being an electrical electronics engineer and knowing and having to face the reality every day that you had failed at getting into the path that you had dreamed for, that path that was your core identity, your whole life up to that point. I just want to acknowledge for a moment, one, you're not alone. And two, it's not the end. Your past is not your future. Where you're at right now does not define where you can go. And here's a guy who's making an incredible impact in the engineering community for leaders like yourself, who went through an incredibly challenging and dark time, a depressed time, falling into all kinds of things that most people would say, you know, that is going to create a permanent scar. And Nader said, no, I'm going to take this. I'm going to climb through that struggle and find my purpose, remove the masks, and make an impact. And I'm just so encouraged by that. If you find yourself in that place, don't allow yourself to fall victim into the story that this is it, that this is all that there will be, and that this failure that's in front of you today is going to define the rest of your journey, because it does not. So where do we begin? How do we take action on this? And let's hit a couple of the key points. For one, if you're looking for that next job, if you're seeking growth, you're seeking to get to the next level, hard skills land the interviews. Soft skills land the jobs. This is a really powerful point that Nader brought to us, and I want you to hear it again. Hard skills, the cover letter, the resume, the certifications, the degrees, those things will get you in the door. You do need the experiences and the resume and all these pieces. You know, I tell my clients who work with us at Oaco, a great resume helps you to get in the door and get those interviews, which is part of the process. But it's not going to ever land you the job. A bad resume can prevent you from getting the interview in the first place. So don't neglect this area, but don't put all your eggs in this basket of your hard skills. This is why I say over and over again that the gap to your next level is almost never another certification, another degree, your MBA, your PhD, a more beautiful cover letter. Those things are not the things that are holding you back. It's the inside. It's the soft skills. It's the ability to communicate. It's you understanding and tapping into your emotions, your energy, your ability to share that you care. Remember what Nader shared with us. Show people in the process of going to land a new job, whether that's promotion within your current organization or a career transition or starting your own business. If you want to be a technical co-founder and start a company, you're seeking funding from venture capitalists or angel investors, you must save your best for first. go in and lead with the parts of who you are that ultimately are going to be the parts that land you that opportunity. And it's rarely in the hard skills department. It's the soft skills that matter. Removing masks. That's such a powerful metaphor. And I want to touch on this again because taking action on this is really confusing in the world we live in today. We live in a time of fake vulnerability. And what I mean by that is someone going out on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, and putting their vulnerabilities and their story in front of the entire world in a way that is purely seeking attention, purely a cry for attention and help that is not rooted in authenticity and genuine caring, that is not the kind of mask removal that we're talking about. And I'm not saying don't share your story on social media. Please don't hear me wrong. But the point is, you want to share what is true and authentic and vulnerable for you. The demasking process that we just talked about in this conversation, beginning with the people in the inner circle, the people who you love and trust, the people who are going to honor and take care of that soft area inside you and not open that up to the world in a way that you're not ready for and ultimately is not going to help you to heal, but is potentially going to open you up to a deeper wound. And so if you don't have a coach, if you don't have an accountability partner, if you don't have people in your life who you love and trust enough to show them the mask and remove it in front of them, then you need to get those people in your life. And that's where it begins. Ask yourself, who are the people that I'm willing to ask the hard questions and look inward with pure honesty, integrity, and authenticity? And if you don't have those people in your life, then take action to get them. I would be honored to be one of those people. That's what we do at Awaco, is find and remove those barriers and those masks, those anchors in your life. But if it's not here, then it needs to be somewhere. Who and where are you going to go to get help with removing those masks? And I'll say it again. You are a whole person. You are a whole person. You're not going to achieve your ultimate career success, reach your peak potential with what you do as an engineer, if you have major, you know, depression or major issues with drugs or alcohol or the things that Nader just described holding you back in other areas. Your whole person, and it matters. How you do anything is how you will do everything. And your subconscious is going to sabotage your best intentions in your career if you're not dealing with the other areas of your life. So when we're coaching career success, we want to coach all of you, not just part. One more thing I want to touch on, because this is an area I see so many people, including myself, falling short. And we want to get back in touch with what Nader said at the very end of our conversation. Depression is what happens when you live in your thinking too much in the past and in a negative way. Anxiety, when you live too much in the future and in a negative way. The antidote is to be in the present. This is such a powerful concept, and I want you to just take inventory. How much of your time do you spend actively and energetically thinking in your conscious mind in the present moment? In the present moment, really noticing and being attentive to what's happening right in front of you right now. And I'll tell you, it's a lot less than you think. It is a lot less than you think. As engineers, we spend so much time planning projects, planning budgets, putting the Gantt chart together, planning all the tasks and things that need to get done, understanding dependencies, doing risk mitigation, you know, if this, then that, if this, then that, FMEA and failure modes, how are we going to prevent bad things from happening in the future? We spend a lot of our thought energy in the future, thinking about what's going to happen. And that is really important. But at the same time, what can then happen is we're always on in the goal space, in the future space, and we're not present in the future. And likewise, when we fail to hit a goal, when we don't achieve the thing that we've set out to do. I know you. You're a goal-seeking, high-achieving person, or you would not be listening to this podcast. You're someone who wants to be happy, wants to be fulfilled, wants to make an impact. And for people who want those kind of changes, people who want more from their life, it's easy to look back and say, "Ah, I can't believe that I failed in this area. Ah, I didn't get my entire to-do list knocked out today. Ah, this took twice as long as I wanted it to take, and now I'm having to stay up all night and work extra." And you just beat yourself up and you live with a spirit of guilt or depression around what has not yet happened. That behavior of over-indexing on future thinking or over-indexing on past thinking is something that's going to hold you back from fully discovering, but also fully living your purpose in life, which is, as Nader described, where we ultimately find our deepest fulfillment. So check in with yourself. Ask that question. How much of my time am I spending thinking about the future? How much of my time am I spending thinking about the past? And what will it take for me to get present? And if you don't know how to do that, then that's another place to partner with a great coach, someone who can help you understand, break down, and build great frameworks, systems, and tools around how to change our thinking so that this becomes automatic. Hey, I hope that you got a ton from this conversation. Whether you're looking for a job now or not, this has been super powerful. I can't wait to get more from Nader and just understand his story, all the things that he's been through, and apply it into my own journey. I hope you'll do the same. And until next time, keep pursuit of your purpose, live with courage, and I'll talk to you soon. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the resource hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.